All right, Jeremy, I'm going to go on a little bit of a rant here. So you and I are on the internet constantly listening to people talk about golf equipment. It's part of what we do for work. And there is a very vocal group of golf enthusiasts out there who will tell you that all equipment has been maxed out for years, that every potential advancement that equipment companies make or claim to have made is all just marketing BS. And, you know, you and I aren't really on that side. But here's the other interesting thing. A lot of these same people are also saying that they think the golf ball should be rolled back. I've even read that pros should be playing smaller 300cc drivers because the drivers are too good for them, you know, to be able to play golf fairly. And that would make all of our problems with professional golf go away. And I just think that's kind of a hypocritical position to be in. So I wanted to talk today on Splitting Fairways about equipment and whether we think it's maxed out. And newsflash, we're going to tell you it's not, but maybe not in the way that you expect us to. You know, we certainly are going to try to get past some of the marketing speak. You know, we work very closely with a lot of people in marketing. And, you know, we're very used to seeing claims every year. Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we are. But we also test a lot of gear, and we've seen a lot of things, even as recently as this year, that showed genuine improvements for both of our games. So let's dive into this. This is Splitting Fairways.
Real golfers, real opinions. I'm Jeremy.
And I am Ryan. And let's title this one, Has Golf Equipment Peaked? Hmm. Okay. So first of all, let's say, like, let's try to define, you know, what does equipment being better in this cycle? So say this year's driver, you know, versus last year's driver, you know, what does better mean, right? And I think for so long, everything's been related to distance. It really strongly going, I mean, for a long time, I can remember, all the way back to like Burner. TaylorMade Burner talking about distance, I'm sure, and that was like when I very first started golf, right?
Well, everything's always about distance with the driver, right? Everybody wants to hit the long ball. You know, we always hear the saying, chicks dig the long ball. Like, yes. You know, speed and distance is what the driver's always about, and that's what everyone's chasing all the time.
Even, you know, it's not as much anymore, but there was a solid 15 years there where really iron marketing was almost all distance related too. You know, obviously there was still some of that, you know, precision language out there when you're talking about, like, you know, Mizuno forged irons, you know, things like that, but really distance dominated the discussion for irons as well. So I think it's no secret that there is what they call a core limit on driver faces, 1.50. So that's just that, you know, the ball in the center can only go 1.5 times the swing speed of the driver, right? And a lot of, we'll call that smash factor, that type of thing. That's been that way for like a long time, right? Mm-hmm. So number one, I think it's a fallacy that every single driver out there has always been able to get that 1.5 smash factor. And some companies have invested a whole bunch of money to getting there and have just got there in the last few years.
Sure. Yeah.
I can think of a couple drivers or a couple companies just right off the top of my head who really invested a ton of money into speed. And have come out, you know, really well for it. Titleist, when they kicked off TS, like the TS series, and mm-hmm. now they're ETS, very focused on speed.
Yep.
Zuno's made some genuine improvements.
The nano alloy face this year is pretty sweet, and it's that driver is fast.
Yeah, absolutely. So, nonetheless, though, people, I think, assume there's like this, what do you call it? Kind of like people like roll their eyes and like, oh, 10 more yards. And it goes back to that whole 17 yards thing back at Rocket Balls, right? And you still hear people characterize equipment marketing as, yeah, just 10 more yards. If we had 10 more yards every year, we should be hitting 500 yards, right? You know, we've all heard it.
Oh, sure.
But so much of that advancement in speed is not in the center where we're hitting 1.5 smash factors regularly. It's everywhere else on the face. Yeah. And that is objectively improved cycle after cycle. And it's still improving.
Well, and yeah, that's where drivers are improving for sure, is those off-center hits that are staying in the fairway and not duck hooking out of bounds or fading mm-hmm. off into the trees, you know, keeping that ball speed retention on those hits and still getting you out, you know, where you want to be at least.
I mean, I'm sure you remember some drive. I mean, what we would still consider kind of modern drivers, right? But you hit that high toe ball and that thing literally dropped down, you know, 1100 RPMs a spin, still pretty quick, and then just dive bombed, you know, into
but,
the.
But not always. There is a time, and it might even still be with that high, not extreme toe, but like high towards the toe side on the drivers is the sweet spot for hitting bombs, you know, because it's lower spin up there.
I will admit to curating a really nice toe draw, like, and that being my stock shot for a long time, you know, because that was how I could get like the farthest drives that I hit.
Sure.
So yeah, it brings up a good point though. You know, speed is obviously one thing that companies have improved on off-center strikes, but they have really also invested a lot of money into maintaining spin windows. And that's kind of like where it doesn't get too low in some areas or too high in other areas. I can think of a good one this year for that is the Triple Diamond Max, the Quantum mm-hmm. Triple Diamond Max. When I've tested that this year, I mean, 90%+ of my swings are between 2200 and 2800 RPMs a spin. I mean, it's amazing to me. It just doesn't matter
sure.
where you hit on the face. I can swipe one like just a big ugly wiener fade, and I look at the numbers and it's still like 2900 RPMs. That to me is
that's
just
good.
Amazing.
Yeah, yeah,
just
sure.
amazing. So I'm going to call that debunked. I think that drivers continue to get better. There are cycles that I think are kind of useless cycles, right? Certain models, especially sometimes when you get kind of that 2.0 version of something, historically haven't been very good, right? Mm. Or just not that much better. But
the sequel's very rarely better than the original, just like a movie, right?
Yeah, exactly. For sure.
But in some cases, it's better, you know, but not always.
Yeah, not always. That's for sure. Okay, so we've talked about how the miss is kind of the story here. What's your most forgiving driver of the year that you've encountered?
Oh, most forgiving driver of the year. I've tested.
You've
a
hit
lot
quite a
year.
Few, yeah.
I've hit quite a few this year.
Am I putting you on the spot with that one?
Yeah, kind of. Like I don't know what I would say is the most forgiving. I'm seeing some really good things right now with the Titleist GTS. I can tell you that. And the Cobra Optum is another one that is pretty forgiving for me.
I would have liked to try that Optum just in a slightly different loft. I tried it in 9 degrees and it just didn't really work well for me. I needed a little bit more height, but I was really, you know, that whole more fairways marketing campaign that they had was kind of compelling to me. I would have loved to have seen that. You know, I found the GTS 2 with the weight back especially has been very forgiving. Like I said, the TD Max, Triple Diamond Max is surprisingly forgiving. Really the Mizuno, the JPX one line also really good.
Yeah, I've seen, I haven't hit it in a while because I've been hitting a couple other different drivers, but the Quantum Max was really, really good for me too. In fact, I got fit into that one at the ECPC.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I remember watching that video actually.
Yep.
So okay, great segue. Nice. Let's talk a little bit about kind of a different technological upgrade, something that maybe isn't as sexy from a marketing standpoint, but in my opinion might be kind of the most easy way to get that 10 yards or 17 yards. And that is the way that companies have improved their fitting options for consumers right now. So almost every company has, you know, multiple lines. Some have, or multiple drivers in a line.
Sure.
Some have more than others. And here's another thing that a lot of the equipment, I hate to use the word equipment haters, but kind of the equipment grumps, whatever you want to call them, will say, you know, like, they'll say, well, you know, Callaway's got six drivers and I don't even know like what to do with it. And, you know, but here's the cool thing about that. And Titleist can do it with three now, which I think is very cool too, but you have the ability to fit to your miss. So if you're a slicer of the ball, now you've got a driver that is really positioned, like, so when you hit it on the heel is faster than, you know, like any other miss, right? And that can help you from, you know, keep the face more squared, impact. All those things. So you have that option, or if you're the, you know, fast, you know, high spin type of guy, you can get yourself into a low spin driver that has the weight forward, you know, won't hit it as high. I thought Titleist did something really cool this year where, you know, they've really focused on being able to move that back weight and that forward weight. And I thought you really encountered something cool with that in your GTS fitting, right?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I was fit for the GTS by one of their Titleist fitters, and the first thing he asked is, are you a front weight forward or a weight back guy, right? And that was one of the biggest things they check. And a lot of the things that I saw for me, like in that driver, I was a weight back guy. It just, for whatever, that weight went back and everything clicked and everything just felt better. So it's pretty interesting.
You started hitting the ball a lot higher.
A lot higher, yeah. And that's always something I'm looking for, as like a low mid like ball flight launch type of guy, and I'm always wanting to hit it higher, and we were able to achieve that to the point where I was like, oh my god, like I've never hit a ball that high.
So I remember when the SLDR came out the very first time. Did you ever have that driver?
No, I did not.
No. That was back when I was reviewing equipment. And geez, it must have been 2014, 2015. I don't remember. Anyway, I go to the driving range and I was pumped. You know, that thing looked awesome. And I took like maybe 100 swings with it. And I didn't hit a single ball over like 30 feet in the air. I mean, it was just terrible. And I called Josh on the phone. I was like, this driver is possibly the worst driver that was ever made. It's impossible for me to even hit anywhere. But that was before we had deep face drivers back then that, you know, that was a way to get spin down. But that was really kind of the very first, you know, let's shove all the weight forward. And turns out, though, that was an awful driver for a lot of people until they lofted it way, way, way up.
Right.
You know, and I don't know. Now, though, you can get that if you want it. And here's the cool thing. You can do it in the same head. You can put all the weight forward or you can put it all the weight back in the same head. That's where I think a lot of the technology advancement has come in terms of fitting.
Oh, for sure. And you know, we can mess with it ourselves, which is probably not the best thing to do, but you can experiment and try things and see how it affects the ball flight, which, you know, like all of us on the THP forums, like we love to do that stuff. We love to tinker around and change weights and hosel settings and all that stuff. But really, you know, that's there for the fitter to have more adjustments to get you in the right setting to give you the best dispersion, the farthest distance, ball flight, whatever it is that you're looking for, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, we're fortunate. I think a lot of us, you know, in this world are kind of this golf enthusiast world is where maybe a little more educated than like your standard club, you know, club member. But the amount of fitting, you know, optimization now is just unreal. Like better than any time ever. And most of it's free too. That's the cool thing. Like the Titleist fittings, you just look up online, go get one. I mean, Callaway does it. They go all the way around. You can just schedule a, you know, an hour, whatever.
If you're going to go buy a driver now, like why would you not go get fit? Like you just said, it's widely available. Most golf stores, most companies, you know, sure, you can go pay for a higher end fitting, they call it, you know, but at least go get a basic fitting. You can dial in some of the things you're looking for instead of just picking one up off the rack that looks pretty, you know?
Yeah. I have a controversial topic for us that we're going to have to do. Most overrated thing in golf, the club brand agnostic fitting.
Oh.
But I personally find that hugely overrated. Now, I'm not advocating for any specific brand, but I'm saying, like, you know, you can have a brand that you like, and most of them are going to be able to accommodate you pretty well, right?
Yeah.
And who knows their equipment and their options and all that better than the people that actually work for that company? And who isn't going to charge you a bunch of money or try to upsell you on some, you know, stupid $800 shaft you don't need when you're a 15 handicap?
Exactly.
Oops, did I say that? Sorry. Okay. So you already know my answer to this because we talked about this before the show, but I think that the golf ball is actually probably the most shining example of technological advancement in modern golf equipment.
Interesting.
And oddly enough, it's probably thought about the least, right? How many
definitely.
People?
Definitely the least thought of compared to drivers and everything else. Nope. Guys are not by everybody, but a lot of people would rather just get the inexpensive golf ball that works good enough for them than play something a little bit with some more, totally drawn. Just lost my train of thought.
Well, you're right though. Like, I mean, there's a reason Supersoft is kind of the most sold golf ball on, you know, planet Earth. Right. And then when it comes to tour balls, there's a reason why Pro V1 is the most popular sold golf ball on Earth. And interestingly enough, they, you know, neither one certainly fits all the people that play it. But I think it's pretty easy for people just to have a name of a product that they've known forever and just grab it. But, you know, you really have to appreciate, though, what they have done with golf balls, right? So with golf balls now, you can have extremely fast cores, right, that feel good, right? Mm-hmm. So it used to be like you couldn't get a really fast golf ball that didn't feel like absolute crap. So now you can have a really fast golf ball. It feels good. It spins next to nothing off of a driver, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you're getting easy 2,000, you know, unless you're like some huge slicer, you're easily able to get yourself in the 2,000s and spin. On the driver. Yet you can make it spin with your irons. You can make it really spin with wedges.
Yep.
And then most of them are durable as hell. I mean, it's just really amazing what companies have been able to do with golf balls. And which is probably why the USGA is trying to roll them back, right?
Well,
what's your thoughts on the rollback?
I think it's ridiculous. I mean, they're trying to roll back a ball based on how far the guys on TV are hitting it. You know, which doesn't really affect many or most of us amateurs. And also they're hitting it so far because they're getting 40 yards a roll after it hits the ground. Like we don't see that when we're playing at home. Maybe if we were getting those extra 40 yards, then maybe there's a case for it. But
I heard somebody say that they felt they are hitting it so far that the only reason Justin Rose hits it far now, because I guess he hits it far now. I don't know.
I
think they all do. But anyway, it's because the driver is so forgiving that he can just swing with reckless abandon and it doesn't matter. But anybody that has seen that guy like take a practice swing or rehearsal, I mean, he's obviously putting a lot of thought into that.
Oh, right? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he's not just going balls to the wall.
I mean, that was Bryson a few years ago, right? Going just hit it hard and as hard as you possibly can and go find it later. Like, But he somehow managed to figure out how to hit it straight while doing that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now he doesn't really anymore. He's not as long as he used to be. And then a little old, tiny little old Rory McIlroy and his
bombs it away.
He's hitting it far. Okay. Let's see. When people think about driver technology, tell me something that you think they get wrong.
Something they get wrong.
Or when they're picking a driver.
Oh, I think they just pick it based off of a name or somebody there. Somebody told them to go get this driver, you mm-hmm. know, type of thing. They might don't know anything about it.
Yeah, that's very much a thing. There's no doubt about that. I think a lot of people judge drivers really by kind of the longest ball that they hit with it, right?
Or the longest that looks pretty in a rack. You know, that's still that is still a thing. Yeah. You know, that's why companies make the sole of the driver look good, because that's how they see it in a rack in the store.
It's weird because I'm so disconnected from that. I go to a golf store like once a year, maybe, you know. Yeah. It's just I just rarely do. You know, if I was gonna pick the longest driver for me on, like, you know, my best swings this year would have been GTS4. I was just shocked at how far I could hit that thing, right? Unfortunately, you know, even though it's a lot more forgiving than a four from Titleist has ever been, a four driver has ever been, it's still, like, you know, average speaking, GTS2 wins all the day. So, you know, all the time for me, because, like, that, you know, that longest and that shortest, I got a much narrower window.
Sure.
You know, yeah. Okay. So let's see. Has forgiveness improved more than maximum distance in the last 5 years? That's anecdotal, but what do you think?
I think the forgiveness has drastically improved over the last couple of years. I think that's kind of, we heard that story from Cobra this year with the POI. You know, they're really focused on forgiveness and not distance, which is something we haven't seen, because usually drivers are all about distance.
Especially Cobra drivers, because they typically win on ball speed. That was a big move for them. I'll be curious to see how that pans out, and if they, you know, they keep going down that road with their next release. Very loaded question here. Would golfers score better with a perfectly fit driver from 5 years ago or a brand new one that they just pulled off the rack?
I think a fitting is going to do it. I know a guy that was playing an older Callaway driver for years that was fit to him, and he was still hitting it really, really well.
You know, there was a long time where I thought fitting was BS too, dude. Like, that sounds so bad to say doing what I do, but
the technology now and the different adapters and the movable weights and all that kind of stuff, you know, you can really optimize the driver through a fitting so much better than you could just doing it yourself, I think.
Just being able to put weight in an area that, like, gives you more, you know, more forgiveness for your, like, ball strike pattern is huge. But, you know, another thing that why I kind of was, I thought fitting was overrated, is because so much of the focus was on shaft. Like, you remember, like, 10 years ago, like, everybody was like, well, if you get this shaft, it's going to make you hit it high.
It's always low about spin. The shaft.
This one's going to be low with low spin. And, you know, that's really what we've learned, and shaft companies are telling us this, right? This is what shaft companies are telling us. You know, that's really just kind of a fantasy, right? I mean, you might get a couple hundred RPMs, but really the shaft is more about getting something that, you know, helps you center up contact.
It's timing and energy transfer and all this stuff, and the head plays a much bigger role than people think.
Especially on the, you know, the launch conditions. I believe in shafts more than I ever did. It's just that now, like, I really believe in them more, like, and just kind of the manner of getting me into the golf ball consistently, you know?
Sure.
And then, because once you can do that, then the rest of the fitting, you know, like, actually starts to matter, right?
Yeah. And there's technology in shafts too. I mean, we're seeing it. this with the Link Power Core from UST. You know, we just had a THP event last week with Kinetics Golf that has Kevlar in their shaft, and it's the like most wildest thing you've ever seen.
Those things are so cool.
It's pretty cool.
Do you love that? Do you love that?
It's nice. Yeah, I like it a lot.
Which one were you hitting?
The Surge X.
Yeah. That's a it surprises me how nice those shafts feel, considering they're wrapped in Kevlar or whatever, you know.
Yep.
Really impressive stuff from Kinetics. I mean, it's been a great year for golf shafts. And I was at the Diamond Experience not too long ago too. They're doing great things as well. All right, let's do a quick lightning round here. We'll just go back and forth. Your opinion, the biggest driver advancement, technologically speaking, speed, forgiveness, fitting, or adjustability? And let's just bring this in the last 10 years.
Oh, 10 years is a long time. I mean, everything's gotten better in the last 10 years. I think it's got, over the last 10 years, we're going back that far, I say it's got to be speed.
Really? Okay.
Yep.
I would say forgiveness.
I mean, if you're talking the last couple of years, I'd say maybe more so, but I think, as I said, drivers are always about speed, and they've definitely gotten faster in the last several years.
At this point, you're kind of melding speed and forgiveness, I feel like, in a lot of ways anyway. You know, especially the companies, they don't always explain it perfectly, but a lot of times when they're talking about ball speed, they're talking about ball speed off the center of the face. All right, next.
More important, head or shaft?
Head for sure.
I was gonna say there's only one answer here.
I've seen big time improvements in my consistency with the right shaft, and oddly enough is the opposite profile shaft than I had really been led to believe that I would need because of the high launch thing. You know, I always played like the really tip soft shaft for so long, and turns out like I went the opposite route, and I'm in a more stiff tip section now, and that has really helped me out. But still, head 100%, you can just do great things with heads now. Would you rather gain 10 yards or cut your dispersion by 10 yards?
That's so easy for me. I'll take the dispersion all day. I mean, it's easy to say, give me 10 more yards, but I'd rather be in the fairway. 10 yards is only a club length, or, you know, one club, not a club length, one iron difference.
That's not a great question. Give me 20. I'd trade just about anything for 20.
15, then maybe you feel like I'm missing something, but.
Yeah, for sure. All right. You got one?
All right. Most underrated equipment advancement that you've seen?
Grip technology. I mean, for real though, we have seen amazing things with grips this year, and I have played some terrible grips this year because they just happen to come on equipment that we're testing.
Yeah.
If I never had to play a Golf Pride Tour Velvet again in my life, I would give up 15 yards. Because in the Midwest, in the middle of summer on a humid day, that is the world's worst grip. Now, unless like you have a caddy with a wet rag wiping down your stuff all day, right?
Yeah.
What companies like WMX are doing.
Those grips are amazing.
Yeah. Let's see. Superstroke's doing great things with their Revel. I play the Revel Comforts. I love those things. We've seen Trilogy is a putter grip that they're kind of in, you know, proto phase right now, beta phase, but that's a 3D printed putter grip. I was out there today. It was 93 and just, I was soaking wet. And that was that thing just never, ever, ever stopped given the grip. So anyway, underrated, I'm going to say grips. Because if I had said golf ball, I already talked about that. But
yeah, no, I kind of like that. I like that answer.
I was truly on the spot. I did. Okay, let's see. Do you think any club category has actually peaked?
No, I think they can continue to advance. We've seen advancements in every category. I think there's no way it's just done. These engineers are too good. They're going to find ways to make things better, and they're going to continue to do that.
I had one thought on that, and that was going to be blade irons. But even Wilson is, you know, changing the center of gravity on their blades to make, you know, more, make them a little more forgiving out on the toe side.
Yeah, so, even something as, you might sound small, right? But even something that small, like Titleist did it with the SM11 wedges this year. They changed their center of gravity, and people are loving them.
Yeah, really, for sure. Okay, well, so I guess if the question is, has golf equipment peaked, according to me and you, the answer is
no, not yet.
But if you hate golf equipment and you're listening to us, like, you know, maybe start your own podcast on being lame and hating golf, the fun parts of golf, because golf clubs are awesome. Okay, we'll have more equipment talk here in coming weeks. We thought we'd switch it up this week, and we have plenty of opinions here to share over the coming years on that. But anyway, let's wrap it up. I'm Ryan.
I'm Jeremy.
And this was Splitting Fairways, Real Golfers, Real Opinions. We'll catch you next time.